Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate for 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Folks, welcome to it. It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You got me, your liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo, filling in today. Look, Todd and I hadn't spoken in about, 3 or 4 weeks. And I had no idea what was going on until I got the call last night and was told, hey, man, can you fill in? And then today, I just thought maybe he was taking some time off. You know, we're coming up on the summer months. Maybe he's got a grad in his family. You know, I had no idea. So I said, sure, I'll come on. And then today, the crew told me that Todd wanted me to update you all on what was going on with him. And I'm like, well, what's going on with him? Is there something I should know? And he was posting this on Facebook, and for those of you who have known me for a long time, I don't do Facebook. My issues with Zuckerberg are deep and abiding, folks, so I don't Facebook anymore. So I said, guys, send me what he put out. And so I'm just going to tell you what he wrote to all of you in case you're not on Facebook or in case you haven't seen it, and it was news to me. So first off, I want my prayers and your prayers to go out to Todd and his family. And the good news is there's a lot of good news here, but this is pretty scary. This is scary stuff. Dear friends, he writes, I thought this was the best way to update you on the events of the past few days. Last weekend, while I was exercising, this was posted 2 days ago, by the way, folks. Last weekend, while I was exercising at Shelby Farms, I noticed I was having difficulty breathing. I had to stop every 50 feet to catch my breath. On Monday, it was even difficult to get out complete sentences during the radio show. And that evening, my blood pressure spiked to 200 over 107. My cardiologist sent me directly to Baptist East, and they have done an incredible job diagnosing the problem. Many of you know that 26 years ago, I had open-heart surgery to install a mechanical aortic valve, and in 2007, I had a stroke. It's been a bit of a difficult journey. The team at Baptist East discovered I had a widowmaker nearly 90% blockage in one of my arteries. Let me just stop there for a second, folks. 90% occlusion on an artery, folks, is any artery. But one of the main arteries in your heart, that's just bad news. They don't call it a widowmaker for nothing. They were able to fix what could have been a disastrous problem. I simply can't say enough great things about the staff at Baptist East. They have gone out of their way to make me feel comfortable and provide daily encouragement. My church family has been so kind, as well as the team at KWAM, and of course, the Real Housewives of Germantown. Dieter, you made me laugh, and I greatly appreciate that. Dalton, a good man. Just a good, good man. I hope to be back home and eventually back on the radio and TV, but for now, I'm going to enjoy some bed rest. One final note. If the nurse ever comes into your room with a razor and a grin, and she tells you it's a spa day, don't believe her. I'm going to need a therapist and a six-pack of Dr. Pepper to overcome body shaving. And then after that, folks, Todd, this is 13 hours ago, providing this update. Glad to be back home. Can't thank my cardiologist, the team at Stern, and the phenomenal cardiac team at Baptist East for getting me back on my feet. We are truly blessed with some of the finest medical personnel in the nation right here in the Mid-South. My cardiologist called me tonight and reiterated how fortunate I am. a 90% blockage of the main artery. And I must tell you that I'm taking some time to get my head wrapped around the events of the past 5 days. Folks, let me just stop there really quickly. Yeah, I imagined, I was talking with some of the team here at the Todd Starnes Show saying, you know, when you have a 90% blockage, you're going to be told by a lot of individuals who are in the medical profession, hey, man, you're really lucky. You're really lucky. That was all bad news, and you got in under the wire. And they're very good about telling you that kind of stuff. Back to the note. I am just so blessed to be surrounded by my precious family and my sweet friends. My church family went above and beyond, and my family at KWAM and the National Radio Show have just taken charge with Dylan at the helm. I had my first outing earlier today to drive to Kroger to get some baby aspirin. I feel like I ran a marathon. It's going to take a little bit of time for me to get back on my feet, but I will be well on my way. In the meantime, a few guest hosts will be taking over. Also, as a journalist, I always believe in correcting errors at the source. And I do want to apologize for telling you that gravy was actually healthy for you. Turns out sausage gravy is not a lubricant for your arteries after all. My apologies. I long for the day when I can relax in the sun and drink a Dr. Pepper. So that's the update from Todd, folks. Those of you who are missing him, as I'm sure you are, and his upbeat and sunny outlook, he's in good hands. He's in good spirits, as he always is. But I think in his words, I think we can all take a little bit of a moment here to count what's really important. I had one of these episodes. It turned out to be really, really bad reaction to allergies, folks. And I thought, and I was struggling just as mightily as Todd was to breathe. It turns out it was allergies and nothing that was going on with the heart. But it was still a scare nonetheless. And for me, I was in the hospital bed. My wife was with me. But I didn't want to worry the kids. I didn't want to tell them, and unless there was something to worry about, right? And of course, I got a stern talking to from the kids afterward. You know, when that kind of stuff happens, we do want to know, yada yada yada. So it's probably a reminder to everybody out there, take some time to remember what's important. Be mindful of your health, kids. Be mindful. You got one body. Be diligent. And, you know, keep track of what's going on with you. And it doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're just that. You're diligent. Okay? So God's blessings to all of you. God's blessings to Todd. And praise God he's back on the radio soon. And back on television soon. Telephone number for the Todd Starnes Radio Show. If you want to pass on some well wishes or just maybe even tell me about your close calls and how important it is to get the health, you know, under control, diagnosed, under control, regular visits, do so. Telephone number is 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, if you want to weigh in. So look, since I'm starting off the program today telling stories, let me tell you a story about what's going on in my home state of Texas. And many of you might be going, this sounds an awful lot like what's going on the national level. This sounds an awful lot like what's going on with Senate Republicans, right? Let me give you some background on Texas. Texas, we have a united front in the Texas Senate. Mostly conservatives. Every single time there's a legislative session, and then we get one every other year, we have a part-time government, which, by the way, is merciful. Part-time government is good, folks. I would highly recommend it for every state in the union, because it is 1 year they take off where they're not doing damage to we the people. And these people who are part-time legislators, they have to live in the world they create for the rest of us, by and large. So in Texas, it's the our problem in Texas is the Texas House. And I'll give you an example. Back in the 1990s, there was something that I have dubbed the Joe Strauss Gang of 11 coup. And here's what happened. The Democrats had been running the show in Texas. For those of you who know your history, Texas was a Democrat state at one time. And for the last 30 years, it has not been. But that's a temporary condition, folks, if the Republican Party continues to behave as it has been behaving. And I think that's by design. When the Republicans took over the governorship of Texas, many of these politicians changed parties but didn't change ideology. And one such guy was this guy by the name of Joe Strauss. There's a couple of other guys like these names aren't going to mean a lot to many of you. But for those of you in Texas, you know Charlie Guerin, you know Jared Patterson, you know Jeff Leach. These are fake Republicans, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But here's how the Joe Strauss Gang of 11 coup worked. There was a very narrow margin in the House where the Republicans had the majority. And for the longest time, it was Republicans putting Republicans in power. There was one example of when the Democrats ran things, they appointed one Republican chair to be in charge of a committee inside of the Texas House when Democrats ran it. So that became the impetus for when the Republicans took over for turning over ungodly number of committees to Democrats in the interest of bipartisanship. And you all know bipartisanship is just code for we do it all the socialists and the Democrats way. And that's what has been happening here in Texas, because you see, in this Gang of 11 coup, here's what Joe Strauss did. He got together with 11 fake other Republicans, just enough to give him a leg up. And he went over to the Democrats and he said, I'm going to do a deal with you. All you Democrats support me. And I have these 11 fake Republicans who are going to support me too. That's going to be enough to make me speaker. And then I will blackmail the other Republicans. And I will tell them if they want their bills passed, if they want to be in good standing with the House leadership, they will all vote for me too, to keep up the illusion. So, folks, Joe Strauss and those who followed him, a guy by the name of Greg Bonin, a guy by the name of Dade Phelan, they all got unanimous votes. Republicans and Democrats all agreed that the Republican would be the speaker. Isn't that funny how that works? And it was all rigged. It was all a scam. Now, this last speakership vote, the conservatives had made enough headroom in the Texas legislature to make a game of it. And in this last cycle, a guy by the name of Dusty the Democrat Burroughs, he ran as a Republican, he was elected as a Republican, but this time he was forced to do the stabbing of Texas conservatives in their chest rather than in their back. Because you see, folks, Dusty the Democrat Burroughs took 36 fake Republicans and went over to 49 real socialists and Marxists in the Democrat Party. And they all went on record. 49 Democrats with 36 fake Republicans elected the current Texas House Speaker. Now, many of you are going, wait a minute. 49 Democrats and 36 Republicans elected a Republican speaker? Right. Many of you would say, well, wait a minute. If a majority of Democrats voted for the speaker, doesn't that make him a Democrat speaker? And yes, you would be right. And he has been. Now, folks, this has been the indignity that conservatives and the majority of Texas voters have been forced to endure for the past 2 years. And not to mention John Cornyn, which I'll get to in the course of events today. The same fake Republicans who run the United States Senate right now, the same caliber of individuals run the Texas House. And to add insult to injury, and this is where the story gets really, really interesting, is that over the weekend, it was announced that Dusty the Democrat Burroughs, fake Republican, was going not only going to be speaking at the grassroots Texas Republican convention, but that he basically bought, folks, financed the Texas convention, brought in a whole bunch of money. And you know what? Some, not this liberty-loving Latino, but some in the Republican Party are saying, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. You know, putting Democrats in charge of chairmanships, undermining the Republican voters, the vast majority of Republican voters in the state of Texas. All is forgiven because you brought a whole bunch of money to the table. Folks, I'll tell you the machinations of all of this and what it means not only for Texas. And if Texas falls, folks, so goes the nation. Not only what it means and what it informs us on for the national races, the primaries that all of us are going to be voting in. I will tell you this as I go to break, folks. And if you want to weigh in on all this, if you're in Texas, please feel free to call 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. What this means for us going forward, where the real action is, and I'm here to tell you, it is the Republican Party primary. Nothing else matters at this point if Americans don't win the Republican primaries. Back in a minute. Chris Salcedo Show in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Folks, welcome back. You got the Todd Starnes Show. Me, your liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo. For those of you who don't know who I am, do not confuse me with loudmouth leftist Latinos out there. I actually love my country. I love my state, the United States of America, and I am broadcasting to you live from the great state of Texas. Before I get on to what's going on here in Texas, folks, how the Republican Party here is, sorry, not the Republican Party, the Republican politicians are reflective of the cancer that we have in the Republican Party on the national level. Let me go to Joe. He is from Georgia, W-D-U-N. Joe, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you being here on the Starnes Show.
Chris, thank you very much. I just want to express prayers for Todd. He's a great guy. I've been on his program many times, and he's truly a great American conservative champion, and we're praying that he gets well and gets back on the air. And I just want to say I've been involved in politics for about 50 years, and I think, Chris, we need to campaign in a positive way and not be negative. Like, I'm working for Burt Jones to be governor of Georgia, but I'm doing it in a very positive way. I think we just need to say why we're for somebody and not bring up all the negative stuff, because I've heard so many people say, as I've heard you say, politics are so dirty. Well, I think, and to some extent, they're right. So what we need to do is be for candidates with passion, fire, and enthusiasm, but be positive. And I just want to say that. But mainly, I want to say we'll be praying for Todd. He's definitely a great, great man. I met him personally, and we're all praying for him to have a speedy recovery and get back on the air. And thank you for...
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for the well wishes. Folks, I'm positive. I'm positive I don't like Republicans who betray the country and their own party and their voters. I'll expand on that coming up next on the Todd Starnes Show. We got the Todd Starnes Radio Show, folks, and me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in Telephone number is 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. And I did want to expand a little bit on the last call from Joe. We got to be positive. Yeah, no, I'm positive. I'm a conservative. And I'm positive I don't like a government of, by, and for the government. I'm positive I don't like that. And the problem with the Democrats is they're unified. Marxists, socialists, anti-American kooks, freaks, and nuts. Right? They are what they are. And you don't need a manual. You don't need much political pressure at all. They are totalitarians at heart. And they're unified. Do you know that there are no unifying principles in the Republican Party? These cats can't even unify to oppose communists. I mean, that's the problem with the Republican Party. And for those of us who say, oh, bygones, let's just move on. You know, oh, yeah, you surrendered us to socialists, Marxists, and kooks, and freaks, and nuts, and you harm my family, you harm my state, you harm my community. Oh, but, you know, let's just stay positive and just move on. No, I think that's how we got to where we are right now. Government that is never held accountable for what it does to us. And I think it's time that our memories got longer, not shorter, my friends. I mean, and these politicians, they rely on you not remembering the equivalent of not what you had for breakfast yesterday or this morning, as far as politics are concerned. Oh, let's just forget about it. I've got Michael McCaul, who is a retiring congressman who's supporting John Cornyn, who is a Republican in name only. 24 years of siding with socialists against our people, making Texas a worse place to live. That's his legacy. And Michael McCaul, you might remember, folks, pushed something called the CHIPS Act down our throat. Remember the CHIPS Act? Our elected officials offshored critical infrastructure that was used in our financial system, used in our defense, national defense. They moved it offshore to Taiwan. You know, what could go wrong moving it just miles away from communist China? What could go wrong moving it all there? And then when they found out, hey, maybe that was a stupid thing to do, as Democrats have eroded our resolve at stopping communists in this country, and then all of a sudden we found ourselves in a pretty big national security risk of having our largest semiconductor provider in Taiwan fall to the communist Chinese. Communist China was already infiltrating the chips market, folks, rigging the chips that we put in our ships, in our vehicles, in our defense computers for surveillance. I mean, this was discovered during the era of Obama. So whose bright idea was that? Oh, yeah, Republicans and Democrats, the Uniparty. I don't want to forget. And then when they said, oh, man, this could really lead to some people dying. Then they said, let's pass the CHIPS Act, billions of billions and billions of dollars to bring back the chips back into America that should never have been allowed to be exported to begin with. I had Michael McCaul, folks, booked on my radio program to talk about this. The minute his people found out that I wanted to ask about the CHIPS Act, they canceled the interview. Because he didn't want to talk about how this Republican intentionally made every man, woman, and child, along with every other Republican and Democrat, put our lives at risk by offshoring that which should never have been offshored, our national defense. You guys remember during the China virus? Communist China saying, hey, we're going to cut off your medications. How many of you remember that? We're going to cut off your medications. Now, look, Joe, if you're still listening, in Georgia, how am I supposed to get over that? Let's be positive. That Republicans and Democrats have colluded to offshore our medications to communist China, an enemy nation. How am I supposed to let bygones be bygones when they control our medications, man? How am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to forget and forgive? Maybe I can forgive, but forget would be foolhardy. Maybe one day I could forgive the Michael McCauls and the John Cornyns for teaming up with socialists and Marxists to compromise our nation's national security. Maybe I could forgive them at some point, but I would be stupid to forget. And I think our voters would be stupid to forget as well. So that leads me back to what's happening here in the great state of Texas with the Republican Party of Texas. I'm just going to read from their statement, folks. And you all have a primer now that the current Texas House Speaker is a fake Republican who has done his best to continue the tradition of Republicans giving Democrats more power in the House than they earned at the ballot box. I'll give you a prime example. How many of you know who James Tallarico is? He's the Democrat Senate candidate in Texas. Do you know he still has chairmanships gifted to him in the Texas House by Republicans? He still has the imprimatur of being a chairman inside of the Texas House. Why? Because Republicans gave power to him that his party didn't earn at the ballot box. And they're still giving it. He's the Democrat nominee for Senate. And the Republicans are still supporting him here in Texas. That shows you how sick this whole system has become, this so-called two-party system, which is not. I would love to have a two-party system back. It would be great to have a political party that actually opposes Democrats. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Here's what the Republican Party of Texas wrote. For only the second time in Texas history, the sitting Speaker of the Texas House will address delegates at our convention. Speaker Burroughs is also stepping forward as a sponsor of the convention as well. That has never happened before. Before Speaker Burroughs held office, he was a delegate and a precinct chair. He sat in on those same seats, had those same conversations, and understands exactly what it means to show up and help shape the future of Texas. We are grateful for his willingness not only to support this convention, but to be a part of it in a way that respects and recognizes the delegates who make this party strong. We look forward to welcoming Speaker Burroughs to the 2026 Texas Republican Convention to a historic moment for our party and our state. Now, look, I know many of you are going to be tempted to blame the Republican Party of Texas. Don't. Now, folks, that they've got to put on a convention. They have to. This is where the grassroots from all over, and it happens in Tennessee, it happens in Michigan, it happens in California. The parties put together these conventions, and it is a party for the parties. But there's also some camaraderie. There's also work that gets done. Now, for me, I say, you know what? You can do that over a Zoom call. You can do the work over a Zoom call. This opulent spending on hotels and the parties and the speeches and the convention center space, all this kind of stuff, that's just kind of window dressing. I understand it's great to have a party, and I get it. I understand why it's necessary to have these types of celebrations. But on the other hand, folks, if George Soros was planning on attending a Republican convention, maybe your Republican convention, and all he had to do was just buy his way in. He's gonna sponsor your Republican convention. Here comes Emperor Palpatine himself, folks. George Soros. Are we gonna look the other way? I am getting blowback in my state of Texas from individuals who are willing to forget what Dustin Burroughs is. He is a Republican elected with 49 Democrats and 36 fake Republican votes. He's a Democrat speaker. He's elected by a majority of Democrats as a Republican speaker. He's a Democrat approved speaker. But because he's coming to the table with a whole bunch of money, all is forgiven. And folks, this is what he could do. If he was going to actually, some people are saying, well, maybe he wants to be a conservative now. Maybe he wants to be a Republican. Maybe. Okay, fine. Well, in my mind, there's something he could do tomorrow to start winning over conservatives. He could endorse Ken Paxton to be the next senator from the great state of Texas. He could donate the maximum amount of money allowable under the law to the Paxton campaign. He can get on stage, or he can say, no more Democrat chairmanship. Republicans are not going to gift Democrats power to veto conservative bills anymore in the Texas House. Oh, and by the way, in the future, Republicans, if they're in the majority, only Republicans will elect the Speaker of the House if they're in the majority. Democrats will not have a say. Now, if he were serious about being a real Republican, if he were serious about being an actual conservative, he would do that. He has not done it thus far. So many of you who are not in the state of Texas are going, okay, Chris, bring this home. Why does it matter to me if I'm in Tennessee or I'm in Florida, where Governor DeSantis, I think I just saw a headline, Governor DeSantis signed the redistricting initiative into law, passed by both of his houses in his legislature, and the real deal, a real conservative. Because Ronald Reagan said that when you call yourself a Republican, that comes with a set of values that needs to be lived up to. And guys like Michael McCaul and guys like John Cornyn and guys like John Thune and all the rest of them have not been living up to those principles. As I said, there are no unifying principles in the Republican Party at this point. There should be, but there are not. There are unifying principles in the Democrat Party. They're socialist, Marxist kooks and freaks, anti-American kooks, freaks, and nuts. That's what they are. You may oppose what they stand for, but at least they know what they stand for, right? Republicans don't. And they're about ready to hand over power to those very same socialists and Marxists that have done so much harm to this country over the last 20 or 30 years. Because of their inaction on the Save America Act. How many of you know Scott Pressler? Scott Pressler, at Scott Pressler on X. Folks, and by the way, go visit me on X as well, because I commented on this. At C. Salcedo Show, at C. Salcedo Show is where you can find all of this stuff listed if you want to read up. Scott Pressler is doing something that I think a lot of Republicans ought to look into. He is posting a procedure on his account that shows all of you Republican voters where you can go and demand your money back. If you donated to Win Red, which is the Act Blue, but on the Republican side, and not as crooked or corrupt as Act Blue is. Act Blue is getting investigated and sued by the aforementioned Ken Paxton, the most conservative attorney general in America. He is now suing them. Not the Department of Justice under Trump, folks. Ken Paxton from Texas is suing them. Because, among other things, says the Attorney General, Act Blue admitted they took foreign money and laundered it into Democrat campaigns. That's illegal, if they can be proven. They've admitted it, so let's see if Ken Paxton can prove it. Anyway, so Scott Pressler is putting out a procedure saying if you donated to Win Red and you made a donation saying I want Republicans to behave as Republicans in opposition to Democrats, and then you saw John Thune and John Cornyn and the rest of the Senate Republicans turn their back on the Save America Act saying, nope, no Save America Act for you, then you have every right to go to Win Red, and this is what Scott Pressler is putting up. He's saying, go get your money back. They're going to steal your money with the help of Democrats anyway, right? Your tax money. Why do you have to donate out of your pocket to these people so they can go up to Capitol Hill and work against you? That's what Scott Pressler is saying. And because of the intransigence of John Thune and fake Republicans on the Save America Act, Scott Pressler is targeting first John Cornyn in the Texas runoff on May 26th. Take away John Thune's playthings, folks. Defeat every Republican who has betrayed us in service to socialists. And I've got that list. I didn't come up with it, by the way. A conservative actually came up with it. Mark Meadows, former chief of staff to President Trump, former congressman. I will give you the names of those senators who Scott Pressler says should not win re-election in the Republican primaries because they have betrayed their own voters. They have betrayed their country in service to socialists. That list comes your way next on the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo. Be right back. Todd Starnes Show. Got me, Chris Salcedo, filling in. I do a radio program myself. I like to fancy it a daily excursion into critical thinking. I have dedicated to making my audience the most informed audience in media. So that's kind of what I do. And, you know, when I was on television, I was doing pretty much the same thing. Let me inform you about these fake Republicans in the United States Senate who have taken donations, and those donations have been used to keep these people in place. And what is their legacy item? Agreeing with leftists and Marxists nearly at every turn. I want to thank Congressman Mark Meadows for outing these Republicans who have been basically instrumental in defeating the Save America Act, folks, voting integrity. They want to keep the Democrats' ability to cheat at the ballot box going. Their names: John Barrasso, John Bozeman, Shelley Moore Capito, Susan Collins, Tom Cotton, Kevin Kramer, Mike Crapo, John Daines, John Curtis, Deb Fisher, Chuck Grassley, John Hoeven, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, James Langford, Lisa Murkowski, Jerry Moran, Pete Ricketts, Tim Scott, John Thune, Tom Tillis, Roger Wicker, and Todd Young. Let me give you some other names. These are, air quotes, Republicans who have joined leftists, and after Beijing Biden and the Democrat Party flooded this country with criminal illegal aliens to the tune of over 15 to 20 million illegal aliens in 4 years, they now want to legalize them. These Republicans: Maria Elvira Salazar, Mike Lawler, David Velado, Dan Newhouse, Mike Kelly, Brian Fitzpatrick, Gabe Evans, Marlon Stutzman, Don Bacon, Young Kim, Mario Diaz-Balart, James R. Baird, Kimberlyn King Hines, James C. Del Moynihan, Monica De La Cruz, Nick LaLota, Neil P. Dunn, and Jennifer A. Kiggins. These individuals are, call themselves Republicans, but are unified with individuals who have facilitated an invasion of our country by millions of unvetted illegal aliens from 168 countries around this globe. And to bring it back home to Texas, my friends, John Cornyn, he hates the border wall. He hates border security. Here he is in the Karl Rove Never Trump Network. Have a listen.
He needs to do tomorrow night to make some headway, because the approval disapproval on the wall, those numbers have been about the same for 2.5 years. What can he say tomorrow night that will convince people to move in his direction?
Okay, that's he's talking about Trump. She is Dana Perino, former Bushy, right? You will hear John Cornyn's response on how the wall is just bad news. Back in a minute.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. You got Chris Salcedo in for Todd Starnes today. He's on the mend. I'll get you an update on that coming up here in the next hour. Before I bring on this hour's guest, I do want to give a little bit of a review for those who are just joining. We've been taking to task something that's been going on in the state of Texas. And as a Texan, folks, I got to tell you, so goes Texas, so goes the rest of the nation. We lose Texas, which a lot of fake Republicans are working very hard to turn over control of Texas back to these leftists and these Marxists. We lose Texas, lose the whole shooting match. As wonderful as DeSantis is, as great as the state of Florida is at setting the standard for what a Republican is supposed to be. I was right, folks. They just signed the new redistricting maps into law, DeSantis. So it's going to go. And by the way, the Democrats have been doing this for decades to Republicans, and the Republicans, oh, we don't want to make them angry. Guys like John Cornyn don't want to make Democrats angry, so we won't gerrymander as aggressively as they have been. In 9 Democrat states, folks, you have populations of Republican voters anywhere from over a third to nearly 50% of the electorate and zero Republican representation in Congress. Zero. And that's what Democrats call fair. That's what Democrats call, oh, that's the way things ought to be. And the minute the Republicans start fighting fire with fire is when Democrats start crying foul. And some Republicans, Ari Fleischer, George W. Bush's press secretary, navel-gazing, oh no, we're making Democrats mad. This is a failure. No, no. Joining the fight finally is something that ought to been, should have been happening. Republicans should have been prioritizing protecting their voters and our people from leftists and Marxists, and they have not done so. Guys like John Cornyn, where does he go? He goes under the Karl Rove Never Trump Network to talk with Dana Perino, who is, remember, Bushy's former press secretary. And of course, she's going to make this silly assumption that the people of Texas don't want a border wall between Mexico and the great state of Texas, because we've got to be able to see our loving Texas, our loving Mexican friends across the border as they are selling out their own country to narco terrorists and others, right? Listen to Dana Perino set up John Cornyn. By the way, folks, I'm sure this isn't coordinated at all.
He needs to do tomorrow night to make some headway, because the approval disapproval on the wall, those numbers have been about the same for 2.5 years. What can he say tomorrow night that will convince people to move in his direction?
Well, Dana, I think, coming from Texas with the 1,200 mile common border with Mexico, the idea of a wall is somewhat off-putting to a lot of people.
No, every single Texan that I've run into anyway wants border security, doesn't want illegal immigration. And every legitimate law enforcement official that I've talked to about a border wall, something they call a force multiplier. You need fewer men to do the job when you have force multipliers in the field like the wall. And John Cornyn has been against the border wall, voted against funding the border wall. Telephone number for us, folks, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Let me bring on Representative Brian Harrison. Folks, he used to work with President Trump as the chief of staff for President Trump at HHS. He is now a representative in the state of Texas in the 10th state district there in the great state of Texas. Sir, my friend, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo.
Chris Salcedo, it is always great to be with you, my friend, and congratulations. Thrilled to join you here on the Todd Starnes National Radio Show today.
Thank you, man. Look, I wanted to go over, because I've been instructing the national audience here on what has transpired in Texas. A lot of people are shocked to find out that the Texas House is actually run by Democrats, even though there's a vast majority that is Republican. They are shocked to find out that the current so-called Republican speaker was elected by 49 Democrats and 36 fake Republicans. And when I informed the audience that Dustin Burroughs not only has been given a prime speaking role at the convention where all the conservatives go to set policy for the Republican Party and to try to guide the Republican Party, which, as you know, then Republican politicians quickly ignore everything they do at the convention. But the fact that he not only is going to be given a speaking role, but he basically donated a lot of money to do that. What is your take on Speaker Burroughs speaking at the convention?
Well, just because we're dealing with a national audience here who may not be as familiar with Texas politics, I feel like I got to highlight a couple of things you just went over so folks understand what we're dealing with. You know, when I, after serving as President Trump's chief of staff at the biggest cabinet agency in his first term, I moved back home to Texas, was elected to the Texas legislature, and I was excited to lock arms with all these elected Republicans in Texas because I thought that every elected Republican in Texas was fighting as hard for freedom and liberty of the next generation as those of us in the Trump administration. And the state of Texas has got this reputation, right, for leading and, you know, small government and low taxes and low regulations and bold conservative leadership. And Neil and Chris, nothing could have shocked me or prepared me for the shock of learning after I got elected that basically red Texas, bold conservative Texas, is a myth. And Texas has just been coasting on that reputation. And worse, not only are we just coasting on our reputation, the Texas government, in particular the Texas House, has actually allowed and is controlled by the radical progressive Democrats. And it's, in fact, the Democrat caucus that elects the leadership team in the Republican-dominated House. And that's insane to say. When I got elected, 40% of our committee chairmen were chaired by radical Democrats. I mean, imagine if, you know, Speaker Johnson made Nancy Pelosi chair of the Ways and Means, or let AOC run the Energy and Commerce Committee. That insanity literally has been going on in Texas for almost two decades. The most powerful person in the Texas House is a Barack Obama White House lawyer. He's our parliamentarian, and his job is to kill Republican priorities on behalf of the fake rhino establishment, sellout establishment. So that's exactly right. And what happened last one year ago, is even though the Republican caucus had their nominee for speaker, sure enough, the Democrat caucus had their candidate. His name was Dustin Burroughs, and a handful of rhinos teamed up with the Democrat caucus. They formed a majority and elected the Democrats' choice for speaker in the Texas House of Representatives. That's why I made the motion to vacate. And I'm sorry, Chris, you said before, as goes Texas, so goes the nation. We're in a fight for the future of Western civilization here. And if Republican states like Texas cannot be counted on to fight and stand up for bold Republicans. You know, Ronald Reagan used to talk about Republicans needing to paint with bold colors, no more pale pastels. And in Texas, sadly, with these fake rhinos that are just too profligate, too many of them down here, not only are we not painting with bold colors, we're not even painting with pastels. Half of these Republicans down here, they're playing for the other team.
Yep,
and I'm
yep.
grateful for you exposing it to a national audience, Chris.
Well, folks, there's another aspect of this I want to get in with Mr. Harrison, because for those of you who are not part of this convention atmosphere, just so you know what the Republican conventions, the Democrat conventions all over the country, in the individual states, they are where the grassroots from both sides come together to try to formulate policy. There's a lot of positive energy. It is needed. So I'm not going to necessarily poo-poo the conventions itself, even though I'm going to say they can be done on a Zoom meeting. All the administrative stuff can be done in a Zoom meeting. You don't need all the opulent spending. You don't need the hotels and the restaurants, even though it's good for the economy. I understand that. But Mr. Harrison, it bears pointing out that legislators from Texas and every state, they are supposed to be donating money to help defray the costs for the grassroots. But in Texas, none of these fake Republicans are donating. Like John Cornyn, what did he donate last year? He donated lanyards. And by the way, all those lanyards ended up being thrown into the trash because nobody would wear a John Cornyn lanyard at the Republican convention. So none of these fake Republicans who joined Democrats to elect the speaker, none of them are donating to the convention, right? And
most of them don't even show up. I mean, most of these fake, you know, rhino establishment Republicans, they don't want to be within 100 miles of grassroots patriots.
Why?
Show up
the and that's what I'm saying. Why do you think they're not doing that?
Well, they don't like the convention. They don't like the Republican Party. They don't like what it stands for. And they don't like people holding them accountable. I mean, that's the number one thing, is they don't want people scrutinizing or even knowing about their total betrayals. And in the case of, you know, Speaker Burroughs, I mean, there may be no bigger traitor than somebody who literally teamed up with the Democrats to thwart the Republican leadership team and take it on. This is the same guy, by the way, speaking to a national audience, guys. We got a Senate race coming up. No matter who wins the primary, they're going to face the most radical leftist to ever run for office from Texas, James Tallarico. But here's the most underreported, most scandalous, but least understood aspect of the James Tallarico saga. He didn't come up just through the Democrat ranks. No. James Tallarico was aided in his rise to national prominence by Speaker Burroughs, by the fake Republicans who control the House, because I'm going to say this slowly so people can hear this. You're going to scratch your head. James Tallarico, radical six genders, James Tallarico, God is non-binary, James Tallarico, his choice for Speaker of the Texas House, Dustin Burroughs.
Yep.
He helped elect Dustin Burroughs, voted for Dustin Burroughs, and in return, Dustin Burroughs platformed him, made him co-chair of multiple committees, prioritized his legislation, and set him on the path to becoming the Democrat nomination for Senate. And I will never legitimize Dustin Burroughs' leadership or speakership in the Texas House, because that in and of itself is a massive betrayal to the Republican principles, the Republican Party, the Republican values, and Republican voters.
Representative Brian Harrison, 10th District in the state of Texas, folks, my guest right now. He worked at Trump's HHS and did a great job before he came home to Texas and ran for a state office here. So let me ask you about, as we turn our attention to the national level, so what's happening in Texas is happening on the national level with the Senate Republicans refusing to return to the Founding Fathers' vision for the filibuster. They think Mitch McConnell and John Thune, John Barrasso, John Cornyn, they all think that they know better than the Founding Fathers of this country, keeping the zombie filibuster, not making the Democrats stand, and they're denying election integrity ahead of the 2026 midterm. In other words, keeping the ability for Democrats to cheat at the ballot box going strong. What is your take on the intransigence of Senate Republicans and not passing the Save America Act?
Well, I think there's something in the water in the D.C. swamp. And, Lord, I spent years fighting the swamp in D.C. I understand it. And there's this groupthink, conventional wisdom in D.C. And not only is it wrong, it's 180 degrees wrong. Conventional wisdom in the Austin swamp and the D.C. swamp and all the other swamps is that for Republicans to win, you've got to moderate. You've got to treat the Democrats nicer, okay? Be just a little bit more liberal, and then maybe the media will be nice to you, and maybe you'll get more voters. It's hogwash. It's been bunk and malarkey for a generation. The weak establishment Republicans keep falling for it. Half of them are too stupid to know any better, but they keep falling for it because it makes them popular in the swamps. And here's the truth about the electoral politics of this, Chris. I know you know this. Republicans don't win elections by being weak. Republicans don't win elections by being Democrat-like. Republicans win elections when their voters are energized. And what makes their voters energized? What makes Republican voters energized is the belief that the sacrifice of the generations that fought and died for our freedom will not be in vain. What motivates Republican voters is the belief that their children and grandchildren will inherit a state and a country where freedom and liberty are protected. And so I would go the opposite direction. You want to win in the midterms? Go hard, go bold for conservatism now. And in the state of Texas, we should lead. Why are we sitting on our duff? I'm demanding, I've been begging the governor, call a special session now today. Let's start eliminating property taxes today. Let's deal with the threat from Sharia law today. Let's repeal the big government liberal cancer that's crept into the state government. Let's repeal Hollywood subsidies. Let's ban spending tax dollars on DEI and transgender indoctrination that's happening in all of our public universities. Let's actually pass stronger state-level border security bills, something we haven't done. Let's pass stronger election integrity bills. If we behaved bold, that's how you guarantee electoral success of the ballot box. And you mentioned Governor DeSantis, the greatest, most bold governor in the country. Florida used to be a purple state. Now it's solidly red, and it didn't get that way by squishy Republicans. No, it got that way from bold Republican leadership emanating from the top. Texas could learn from it, and national Washington Republicans should learn from that. You want to win at the midterms? Be bold. Do the right thing. And who cares what the media writes about you? The next generation is more important.
Texas State Representative Brian Harrison, 10th District in the state of Texas. Sir, appreciate the commentary. Appreciate the analysis. I think a lot of folks are with you. Thank you, man.
God bless you, Chris, and God bless the great state of Texas, and God bless America.
All right. Thanks, man. Telephone number here for the Todd Starnes Radio Show with me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in today, folks. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. I have a question for you. Some people in the state of Texas are saying, hey, we're going to look the other way because this fake Republican speaker is coming to the table with a whole bunch of money. Let me ask this audience, how much money does it take to buy you and your values? How much money does it take for you to compromise your values? Now, let me know. Let me know what that dollar figure is where you will abandon what you believe. You will abandon what you've espoused and believed and advocated for your entire life. What is that dollar figure? Let me know. Todd Starnes Radio Show with me, Chris Salcedo, 901-260-5926. Be right back. Glad you made it back, everybody, here to the Todd Starnes Show. It's me, Chris Salcedo. There is an update on Todd. We will get you here top of next hour. I think the question I posited, some of you might thought it was a little flippant, but I think that if you ask the electorate, if you ask voters, how much money will you take to compromise your values, your love of America, your your insistence that elections be free and fair, your insistence that the rule of law be adhered to, that it applies to everybody equally. I think the vast majority of you would say there's no amount of money ever that could make me compromise on those values. But sadly, I don't think our elected officials have that barometer. They can be bought off, and they can be given certain amounts of money to, how shall we say, compromise their professed values. Remember, as Reagan said, there is supposed to be a certain set of values that comes with being a Republican. And it's not just some exercise for branding. Oh, I call myself a Republican so I can get elected. But the planks, the conservative planks of the Republican Party mean nothing to me. Well, they mean nothing to certain people like the aforementioned John Cornyn. Folks, I know that this may seem ultimately self-serving that I am talking about this on talk radio because John Cornyn has been such a disaster for the state in which I reside. But guess what, folks? Chances are, if you're among these 50 states that have fake Republicans in it, you're suffering too. And I meant what I said off the top of the show. The action in this year's election will all be in the GOP primary. When you elect a Democrat, the Democrat voters don't care to elect anybody who's American, don't care to elect anybody who is pro-Constitution. It's all happening in the Republican primary. And I think the state of Texas, with a runoff election coming up, we could send a message. The state of Texas is going to have to send that message to John Thune. Oh, you want to legislate against the will of the American people? Fine. But you're going to pay a steep price for that. It means you're going to lose your job. And it's about time our people remembered an elementary fact. Folks, you got the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It's me, Chris Salcedo. I'm your liberty-loving Latino. Do not confuse me with loudmouth leftist Latinos out there. I actually love my country, the United States of America. All right, so let's go over what I mean when I say the primaries are where it's going to be at this year. Let me tell you that if John Thune is not up for re-election this year, he doesn't face the voters until 2028. That's why he can be such a charlatan. That's why he can do what he's doing, because he is banking on you folks in South Dakota being as dumb as rocks, and that you're going to forget. You're going to forget by the time he is up for re-election his unwillingness and his hatred of the founding fathers of this country. We can't return to the vision of the founding fathers for the filibuster. By the way, the filibuster was never intended, folks, to stop debate. It was intended to foster debate. The zombie filibuster that we're doing right now inside the United States Senate, it stops debate. It prevents debate. All the Republicans or the Democrats, depending on which one is in the minority, has to say is, oh, we're going to filibuster that. And they say, okay, we won't do it. That's it. No debate is ever had. So you guys can know. Here, we want to do voting integrity. Nope. Democrats a filibuster, and Republicans go, okay. Okay, we won't bring it up, okay. Now, is that having it out? Is that discussing and debating? Folks, I did some back in the day when I was working for a CBS-owned and operated station in Texas. I did a report on voting. Did you know that there are government checks to see whether or not the voter is 18 years old or not, if they have reached the age of consent, adults? Did you know that? Did you know your government can check as to whether or not you're 3 burritos short of a combination plate? Did you know that? Did you know that there are government checks to see if you're a felon, if you're prevented from voting because you have a felony conviction? Did you know that? And did you know there are no government checks for citizenship? And that's by law, friends. That's by law. So let me ask you, Why do you think Republicans and Democrats colluded together to create a law that would check for every criteria except for citizenship? Why would they do such a thing, folks? So this is a long simmering hole in our election system that needs to be plugged. The Save America Act enjoys 75 to 85% approval rating among our people. Tell me what issue 75 of our people agrees on at all. Tell me one issue where you get 75 to 85% buy-in from the American people across all party affiliations. Tell me one. I can't name one. Except for this. Except for voting integrity. Now, remember, when you elect a Democrat, you elect a dictator. And Democrat voters say, I elect Democrats to tell me what to do, how to live my life. And tax away from people who earn the money to give it to me, the crumbs that they leave for me. That's what a Democrat voter does. A Republican voter, a conservative, votes for a government of, by, and for the people. Self-government. Meaning they are there to do our will, not their own. But so why do I say that? Because Democrat voters, when their elected officials tell them no, to go screw themselves, Democrat voters go, okay, no problem, I'll do that. You tell me what to do. This is how I want. That's how they regard government. When Republicans do that to conservatives, Republicans say, come again, excuse me. So what I'm asking you all to do is to get a little angry that the Republican Party in the United States Senate, the Republican officials in the United States Senate, have looked at you and said, no, we're not going to give the American people what they want. And I want you to contrast this, folks. Remember Obamacare? Remember Obamacare when it was being debated? Not one poll showed majority support for Obamacare, but the Democrats crammed it down our throats or up the nearest orifice anyway. They did it anyway. So that's the difference between the two political parties, my friends. You've got Republicans who won't deliver on a 75-85-15 issue, 85-15 issue. But you've got Democrats, even though they don't have the majority support among Americans, who will cram stuff down our throats, whether we like it or not. That's the difference. And at the end of the day, that means there is no difference, because leftists will always push leftist policies. And Republicans will always push leftist policies. At the end of the day, those differences mean both parties are the same, doesn't it? You want to reach out and tell me, folks, where my logic is going wrong. I mean, we had Joe in the first hour who called up and said, come on, we got to remain positive. I am positive. I don't want to be ruled by leftists and Marxists anymore. Ever again, frankly. Call us up, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. So I already played one soundbite from a fake Republican saying that a border wall doesn't make sense. Do you guys agree with John Cornyn that a border wall doesn't make any sense? Well, here's John Cornyn pushing amnesty for illegal aliens, folks.
The proposal we made included border security, interior enforcements, improvements in the E-Verify system, and a path to legal status for DACA recipients and limits on certain type of chain migration. Members of the Republican conference, including myself, indicated a willingness to continue to negotiate and said this was our starting point.
Yep, starting point. Remember when Ronald Reagan, folks, gave his amnesty? Gave 3 million illegal aliens, criminal illegal aliens, amnesty. And Ronald Reagan said it was the number one thing he regretted because he trusted Congress. Because the deal was increased border security so we'd never come down this road again, and then we would normalize those illegal aliens who busted into our country, right? Well, guess what? They normalized the criminal illegal aliens fast enough. But the border security never came, as you all know. before Beijing Biden's occupation of the Oval Office, this nation was home to 25 to 30 million illegal aliens. I know the official number has been 11 to 12 million illegal aliens for the last 30 years, but you would be an idiot if you thought that massive uncontrolled illegal immigration over 30 years kept the numbers at 11 to 12 million the entire 30 years. You'd be a complete moron. And nobody in this country who's been paying attention is a complete moron the way those in Washington, D.C. think we are. And I will tell you this, that Republicans and Democrats have been legislating against the will of the American people on illegal immigration for the better part of a half century. They have betrayed us, our people, on this issue. Both political parties, the Uniparty. So you got Cornyn saying he hates the wall, hates border barriers because they're a force multiplier that stops his illegal aliens. And then once they get here, here's John Cornyn reflecting the Dignidad Act, folks, passed by or proposed by Maria Elvira Salazar and Mike Lawler and Don Bacon, right? Those fake Republicans saying, oh, yeah, they're here now. The Democrats bring them in and Republicans normalize them. Is that what you voted for, my friends? How about this? How about you folks around the country? Do you prize your Second Amendment? Here's John Cornyn, folks, saying that unconstitutional, unlawful attacks on your due process rights and your Second Amendment rights, he trusts the blue states to violate the Constitution. This is John Cornyn saying, I support the blue states breaking the U.S. Constitution. Listen.
I trust the states to make their own decisions, and 16 states have decided to pass red flag laws. But that's fewer than half of the states with red flag laws on the books. Congress should not only send federal funding to those states, but also other states that are doing things to deal with people in crisis.
Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't care about illegal aliens invading your country, for those of you who don't care about giving amnesty to the criminal illegal aliens, how about your Second Amendment? Yeah, those of you who say we got to be positive, let's just forget that John Cornyn worked with socialists to impose new gun restrictions that would deny due process rights, red flag laws, folks, we should call them blue flag laws. Basically, all you got to have is some whacked out neighbor who says, oh, so-and-so is going to go crazy with his firearms. And then the blue states get to break into your home and take your guns until they can sort it all out. Right? Denial of due process. The action comes first. The due process comes later if it comes at all in a blue state. And John Cornyn, you heard him. I trust blue states.
I trust the states to make their own decisions.
Uh-huh. This has led folks to Ken Paxton creating an ad about John Cornyn. Now, what I'm going to tell you folks, John Cornyn is just like all those other fake Republicans I listed earlier from the United States Senate. He's just like all of them. And that's why they're fighting so hard, folks. What you need to know, how many of you donated to the Republican Party? Well, Chris LaCivita and FP1 Strategies dedicated your money to defeating Ken Paxton and putting this rhino back in, $100 million to defeat a conservative, not Democrats. That's what's happened, folks. $100 million spent by the National Republican Senatorial Committee to put this shrub, this fake Republican, back in and to defeat conservatives. The Republican establishment, led by guys like Chris LaCivita and FP1 Strategies, working to defeat conservatives and keep Surrender Caucus Republicans in power so they can sell you out another day. And that led to this ad from Ken Paxton.
John Cornyn is pro-amnesty. Cornyn pushed Joe Biden's amnesty agenda and said you should just deal with illegals.
You know, the American people are compassionate people. I think they would find a way to deal with the 12 million people.
Cornyn even attacked Trump's border wall as naive and said a wall makes no sense.
The new giant wall between the United States and Mexico makes no sense whatsoever.
Cornyn, good for illegals, bad for Texans.
I'm Ken Paxton, and I approve this message.
John Cornyn came in over the weekend and said that ad was a lie. The ad quoted him directly and said it was a lie. That takes chutzpah, folks, to gaslight the people of Texas. By the way, all these other fake Republicans in the United States Senate right now are doing the same thing in your states. Any of you angry enough to make them pay for betraying you? I'm telling you, folks, the Republican primary is where real change will come this year. Call me up, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. How much could these people pay you to abandon your principles? Let me know. Chris Salcedo in for Todd Starnes. Be right back. Folks, welcome back. Let me get to the phones. We got Chris Salcedo in for Todd Starnes. Let's go to WSIC and have a conversation with Charles. Hey, Charles, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo.
Hey, Chris, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing great, man. Thanks.
So, Chris, here's a question I want to ask you. Everything you're saying is spot on about illegal immigration, John Cornyn. But getting to the SAVE Act, to me, that is really the only issue right now, because if we don't have secure elections, we're going to lose, and the Democrats are going to get power, and they're going to implement this radical agenda like packing the Supreme Court and doing all these crazy things. So, and rhinos, we know, you've named the rhinos that have been, you know, putting up resistance to passing it. But I got to tell you, as much as I like Trump, I'm really disappointed at him that he has not called for an emergency legislative session of the Senate like he's authorized to do under, I think, Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution. I mean, why doesn't he call them into session and say, look, guys, you're going to stay here. I don't give a damn if it takes 7 months, but you're working 7 days a week and you're passing the SAVE Act, or you're not going home. You're not going home to campaign. You're not doing anything. You're going to have a speaking filibuster. And this act is going to pass, nothing else is getting done.
I don't know about the power of the president to do that to the United States Senate, but I will tell you, Charles, I'm befuddled, because it's not just the Save America Act. The United States Senate is also actively preventing, Republicans are preventing President Trump's nominees from getting approved. When they went on their most recent vacation, their long vacation, they just got back from another one, because, you know, they're running out the clock. You can tell they're running out the clock. They put the Congress into a pro forma session of Congress to prevent Trump from making recess appointments to these key positions, because those key positions would be in charge of prosecuting Democrats for their violation of law. So the Democrats say, we don't want these prosecutors filled so they can't come after us. And John Thune and fake Republicans agreed. And so they're preventing justice. They're defending socialists and Marxists. They're trying, it seems to me, I don't know what you feel about this, Charles, but it seems to me they're trying to get back to corruption as usual on Capitol Hill, and Trump is in their way. So you got Thune and company working with socialists and Democrats to turn over the country back to these people so that elections won't matter at all in the future. Seems that's what my read on it is. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, it's, Chris, it's almost just like the Republicans in the Senate and the House. Some of them, they don't want to win. They like being in the minority where they can, you know, complain the whole time. But you know, it's all performative, all this, you know, all of it. But
well,
there
yeah.
is a provision in the Constitution, Chris. I want to say it's Article 2, Section 3, where the President of the United States has the authority to call an emergency session of Congress, and I think for either one house or both houses. And I just don't understand why he doesn't do that with U.S. Senate. And in the same sentence, call for the removal of John Thune as the majority leader, unless he gets this passed, and ask for five or seven Republicans to step forward and say, all right, let's do it. You know, tired of complaining. Let's put up or shut up. I need five of you to vote to have to remove John Thune.
Well, I mean, yeah, but again, who's gonna step in? I mean, remember, there are over 20 fake Republicans in the United States Senate right now who would probably put in somebody worse. Here's Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution. He, meaning the president, shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. He may, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them in a case of disagreement between them with respect to the time of adjournment. He may adjourn them to such time as he shall think proper. He shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers. So I guess by reading of that, he could call the Senate because of their disagreement with the House on the Save America Act. I mean, in theory. But remember, folks, President Trump isn't complaining either about all of his nominees being stalled out right now, which is also making me scratch my head. What is happening with President Trump and his agenda? It looks like it's collapsing courtesy of Republicans.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks. Hey, welcome back. It's hour three of the Todd Starnes Show. You got me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in. I try to put on, when I do my radio show, a daily excursion into critical thinking, and that's kind of what I do. I try to make my audiences the most informed in media. Telephone number is 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Got a guest coming up, Colonel Tony Schaefer standing by, but I have a pastor standing by. I'm going to go with God first, always, folks. I'm going to go with God first. So if you have somebody who's representing the Lord, you always want to take him. Pastor John is waiting from Kentucky, KWAM. Pastor, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show with me, Chris Salcedo.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be very pastoral today, but first thing I want to compliment you, Mr. Alzado. You know, I talked to you a while back and said, are you sure you're not related to Lyle Alzado? Well, you sure act like him. He was a defensive, crazy man on the field, and in your capabilities as a talk show host, you're displaying that same ferocity that Lyle Alzado did on the football field.
Those are very kind words, and I do remember the great Lyle Alzado. He was when I was watching the NFL before they went woke. I loved the history of the National Football League when it was pro-American. Sadly, it's no longer. But anyhow, you wanted to comment on what we've been talking about so far today.
Well, first of all, I've been a U.S. citizen since August 8, 1968, at 12 p.m. I was sworn in at the U.S. federal court in Cleveland, Ohio. And I believe that the only reason why these politicians, both the House and the Senate, haven't done what they really want to do, and I really believe this because my mom, when she had a citizenship book, was 137 pages long and was only written in English, and she was Japanese and she learned English, is that we had this Constitution. And in that Constitution, you had the Second Amendment. And with that Second Amendment, just before, we have the First Amendment. But you cannot have that First Amendment without that Second Amendment. And a lot of Americans fail to realize that. A lot of us served, a lot of us bled, and a lot of, you know, those, Arlington is full of men and women that have protected that Constitution and our American way of life. And I don't know how many people that fled communist countries have been constantly warning the American people, don't listen, but they refuse to listen to the truth. And again, I sincerely believe, and it's preached from the pulpit, not my pulpit, but a couple of others, that pastors are saying, you cannot have that First Amendment without the Second Amendment. And that's where our founding fathers started, in small churches. And if the American people fail to realize that, as you have said, with that ferocity of Lyle Alzado, Mr. Alzado, if you do not listen, we will lose this country. And that is my greatest fear. And one more thing, And if people refuse to listen to that, Thomas Jefferson said it best, and I'll hang up and listen for your comment. The greatest danger to this republic, not a democracy, it's not mob rule, it's a republic, is the uninformed electorate. God bless you, Mr. Alzado.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Pastor. Appreciate the comparison to the great Lyle Alzado. That's Got to say, that's a first, folks. It's the first one. Telephone number, if you want to reach out to me and have a conversation, 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Chris Salcedo in for Todd Starnes, which I'll get you an update on his condition, folks. I know many of you are worried about him, so I'll get you that update coming up. After I welcome on retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, somebody who has served this country in uniform. He's a Newsmax contributor, and he is the founder of and president of Project Sentinel. Colonel, welcome.
Hey, Chris, always great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Well, a couple of reasons I wanted to invite you on. I wanted to get an update and your analysis on the operation in Iran. Before I get to all that, why don't you address what the pastor was talking about? And why John Cornyn is such an affront to so many Americans as he worked with these leftists and these Marxists to disarm the American people with his unconstitutional red flag law financing system, forcing us all to finance blue state red flag laws. What do you think about that?
So most of the country, Chris, enjoy the Second Amendment, and I agree with the pastor. It's linked to the First. They're interlocked for good reason. And I live in rural North Carolina, and everybody here has guns, and I see people walking around open carry. And we have a fraction of the issues of big cities. And to your point regarding Cornyn, these people finance this left-wing lunacy of trying to believe that gun control is going to change culture, and it's not. We have a culture that enjoys and respects gun ownership, and the inner city has become essentially a cesspool of social experimentation that leans hard into communism. Look at Mondami. Most of the other large metropolitan cities are run by essentially Marxists. I mean, they are. And Brandon Johnson, Chicago. And it's always the blame on the inanimate object, not on, you know, the culture. And this whole red flag thing is Orwellian. The idea here, Chris, is somehow we people are going to be able to, you know, tell on our neighbor to report them to say, oh, this guy is dangerous. Look, I live amongst retired special operations forces folks down here. I talked to one today, and they are dangerous because that's what they're trained to do.
Yes.
But they're not dangerous where they're going to pick up a gun and go do something illegal with it. There's a big distinction. So this whole red flag thing opens the door to shenanigans by the left to accuse, you know, law-abiding citizens who are dangerous because we've been trained to be dangerous. But we'll never do anything against society or our government. This is how this whole thing is being sold, is somehow it's going to save lives. It's not. It's simply going to give the left a tool to use against law-abiding citizens.
And it turns the American assumption of innocent until proven guilty on its ear. John Cornyn believes you are guilty, and it's up to you to prove to the state that you're innocent. That is
right.
Anti-American, and that is why John Cornyn and those of his ilk, there were other Republicans who supported this gun confiscation BS, who deserved to be drummed out of the United States Congress, not real Americans, in this conservative's opinion. So let's discuss, Colonel, you and me, the 30,000 feet up, the Iranian conflict. We've got gas prices bearing down on the politics of all of this, and it seems that we're kind of stalled out right now as far as to getting the Iranians, who are, from my vantage point, they're up against it. But how do you see this?
So let's start with what in the end, I always believe, and I've been trained to do it, believe, you know, basically you set your objectives with the end in mind, what you're trying to achieve. President Trump is blatantly, in my judgment, I see it, is going for 80% control or influence or otherwise being able to determine where it goes, 80% of global energy. That's what he's doing. And it's happening. The Venezuela issue was not by chance. He did that first. We've actually had Pete Hegseth down in Indonesia making agreements regarding the Straits of Malacca, where something like 20% of global shipping goes through, to make sure we control that, not the other guys. And ultimately, that's what's at stake here. And he's going against the London bankers, Davos, all those guys. And by the way, a little aside we should talk about sometime, James Comey, the indictment of Comey and all those folks, their job was to stop Trump from doing exactly what he's doing now. And they failed, thank goodness. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't prosecute Comey and those other folks for trying to prevent what Trump is doing now. Now, President Trump has decided within the context of dealing with a threat, a known threat, a threat that's now acting out in ways that are illegal regarding the Strait of Hormuz, he's decided now to take on Iran. And are we feeling some pain? Absolutely. Unfortunately, our gas, which is selling like hotcakes right now, by the way, Texas and other oil producers are going great guns trying to increase production, so the company should be very happy about that. But what we're trying to do, Chris, is change the way governance is done at the global level. That's what President Trump is doing. He's trying to actually restore, in my judgment, the promise of 1776, our 250th anniversary coming up, and being able to live freely. Otherwise, we have globalists like Barack Obama, Cornyn, and others who somehow believe we and our interests should be subordinated to a larger world government. That's what's really going on. And so the London folks, Lords of London, Davos, have always played both sides against the middle. They always win no matter who loses, and that's going to end. It's time for us to reassert kind of our principles globally. We're not going to run the globe, but we want to have a globe that basically is willing to trade, to interact, and do things in such a way that benefit the American people primarily, and the rest of the world, other sovereign nations will have equal sovereignty, and we can work together as equals.
Folks, what the colonel's talking about is spot on, that everything that is being done is to counter communist China, to undermine their presence in our atmosphere, our hemisphere, and maybe even the atmosphere too. But their presence in our hemisphere, their influence that have been allowed to expand, those influences by Barack Hussein Obama and by Democrats who have been working, and frankly some Republicans like Mitch McConnell, who have been working to expand China's influence unduly. And a world where China's influence is dominant is a dark world indeed. And President Trump, everything he's doing is to curtail communist China's domination over the globe. So, and again, it may come at a political cost, but we'll see how it all goes. What is your evaluation of the Iranians' military capability at this point?
Military capability is gone. The problem is you still have the IRGC who's taken the Iranians' guard who protect the revolution, that is their Islamic revolution. They've taken charge of all means of controlling the government. That's why you see the chaos you see. And these people do believe, Chris, that in their version of Islam, and they are the Shia, they believe the 12th Imam, their Mahdi, their version of Jesus, will return if they create enough chaos and destruction. That's their belief. They believe that they must have the apocalypse, that their disciple to return and reunify Islam. That's why they're holding out, and they have this extreme, extreme belief. And there are people in the Iranian government, Persians, who do want to have peace, who do want to get back to commerce and things like that. And unfortunately, they're not being as successful as I think we'd hope and being able to gain control. I do believe there's a popular uprising coming. I think we've been able to open the way for a lot of the elements, the Green Party and other elements within Iran, to start looking at how they can upend the government, which is now controlled by the IRGC. But for the most part, yeah, we are now kind of in a waiting game to see how long this takes. And let me make this very clear for your audience to understand. Everything Iran is doing at this point regarding the Strait of Hormuz is illegal. They have no legal basis to do anything they're doing. As a matter of fact, I would have started with dealing with their fleet of tankers first. If I were the president, I would seize every one of their tankers. We've got 60-plus in our possession. That's a lot of oil that we should just take and seize as booty of war. And then the Iranians, are violating every convention that they've ever signed. And by the way, they've never signed up to the 1958 UNCLOS, which is basically the Law of the Sea Convention. So they have no right of anything. As a matter of fact, according to what they've agreed upon, they have no more than a three-mile limit off their shore that they can have dominance of based on what treaties they've signed. So this whole thing of them acting out, saying that we're violating the ceasefire by enforcing UN regulations and rules, by allowing for free trade and commerce to go through the strait, is insane. And I can't believe the American media, the international media, some on the left, are actually applauding what the Iranians are doing, because literally the Iranians are trying to upend global the economy for purposes of their own revolution.
Colonel Tony Schaefer, our guest right now, folks, Project Sentinel. He is the president of Project Sentinel. What did you make of Trump's letter? Not only his letter to Congress saying, hey, well, technically all hostilities have ended, so I don't need the Congress's approval because the War Powers Act is now null and void because hostility has stopped. And then the president also saying that he is launching a humanitarian mission.
Right.
To rescue the ships that are being held hostage right. by Iran.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, that's why I outlined the law first, Chris. We are completely in a pristine shape regarding legality. Right now, we're trying to basically get ships moving. Some of these ships, Chris, have been sitting there since the beginning of this war with no replenishment. I mean, these crews are going nuts, and it's not their fault. And we're talking about all nationalities, all flavors. And by the way, again, the Europeans are absent as usual because they're not participating in any substantive way. But the president is rightly saying we, the United States, are going to go through and reopen the strait for commerce. And we're going to make sure we do that using military force. That is completely detached, by the way, from the conflict with Iran. And I do agree with he and Pete Hegseth said the same thing. It's like, yeah, we're done with combat operations. Now we're in peacekeeping operations, which is essentially completely legal in what he's doing.
Yes, and I can just imagine the hair pulling from the Iranian apologists on both parties in the Congress. The last thing I wanted to address with you, and I think this was a long time coming, and I think we're going to see more of this. 5,000 troops have been removed, and possibly more, out of Germany after Germany has basically parted ways, let's be charitable, with the United States and our actions against the number one state sponsor of terrorism. Look, my view is that Europe has fallen, Europe has abandoned Western civilization, and I'll be damned as an American if I'm going to finance it. What do you say?
Yeah. So Germany is on a death spiral by its own making regarding economics. It basically refuses to accept Russian oil. It is what it is. I'm not here to judge yes or no if that's good or bad, but it is what it is. And they've taken and shut down all of the nuclear plants, which, as a guy who's got a degree in environmental studies, that is the most effective, most carbon-free way of generating energy, but they got rid of that because of reasons. And their economy is now in a death spiral, so it's probably good we're detaching. With that said, regarding the troops, Chris, Poland, if I were the president, I would publicly move the 5th Corps, which is currently based in Wiesbaden, Germany, move it forward to Poland. I mean, you kill two birds with one stone. You leave Germany, you put our troops in a place where they could be more effective in deterring the Russians, if that's an objective, which it is. So let's do it. And the Poles love us. We love them. They love us. Why would we want to economically benefit Germany with all of the money we bring in from our deployments and from our forward bases there when Poland, a better ally, could benefit from it? So I'm all for shutting down 90% of what we have in Germany and just moving things forward. I think that'll benefit those who deserve it, the Poles, and it'll defund. I mean, I don't think the Germans fully understand, Chris, how much money comes into their economy from our presence there, and I think they're going to learn the very hard way.
Yeah, they're about ready to find out. All right, Tony Schaefer, Colonel Tony Schaefer, thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate the visit, as always.
Sure, thank you.
Telephone number here, folks, you want to reach out to the Todd Starnes radio program and talk about anything we've been talking about. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. An update on Todd's condition coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. Folks, welcome back. Todd Starnes had a heart scare, folks. For those of you who are wondering where he is, he had a heart scare. He was short of breath, and he had to visit the ER, and they said, well, man, we found one of your arteries 90% occluded. I'll walk this through. Todd sent out a statement on social media. I'll read through it to get you guys an update on this, but he's recovering. They got it. But he's going to need your prayers still. That's coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You got me, Chris Salcedo, sitting in. I am your liberty-loving Latino. Do not confuse me with loudmouth leftist Latinos out there. I actually do love my country, whereas it is demonstrably provable, folks, they do not love this country. Daily excursion we do here, folks, into critical thinking. My job is to dismantle the left, dismantle their arguments, and make sure the audience that I am speaking to, addressing, is the most informed out there. That's what I try to do. Now, you know, folks, I, as you could tell, Todd Starnes and I have different styles, but the same commitment. Todd Starnes is a guy that somebody like me goes to feel better about everything. And his eternal optimism is contagious. I know I'm not just telling you folks something you don't already know. So, you know, I kind of came into today's show not knowing what was going on. I just thought it was that Todd needed a cover day. I had no idea he was facing a real health scare. And when I say real, folks, listen to this account put out by Todd. He wanted me to make sure that I kept you all entertained, but I wanted to make sure that you folks knew what was going on with him, because a lot of you do monitor his social media posts and are concerned. And so this is the update he gave 2 days ago, and then I'll give you one that he just did a couple hours ago, or half a day ago. Dear friends, I thought it was the best way to update you on the events of the past few days. Last weekend, while I was exercising at Shelby Farms, I noticed I was having difficulty breathing. I had to stop every 50 feet to catch my breath. On Monday, it was even difficult to get out complete sentences during the radio show. And that evening, my blood pressure spiked to 200 over 107. My cardiologist sent me directly to Baptist East, and they have done an incredible job diagnosing the problem. Many of you know that 26 years ago, I had open-heart surgery to install a mechanical aortic valve. And in 2007, I had a stroke. It's been a bit of a difficult journey. The team at Baptist East discovered I had a widowmaker, nearly 90% blockage in one of my arteries. They were able to fix what could have been a disastrous problem. I simply can't say enough great things about the staff at East Baptist. They have done, they have gone out of their way to make me feel comfortable and provide daily encouragement. My church family has been so kind, as well as the team at KWAM, and of course, the Real Housewives of Germantown, Dieter. You made me laugh, and I greatly appreciate that. Dalton, a good man. Just a good, good man. I hope to come back home and eventually back on the radio and TV, but for now, I'm going to enjoy some bed rest. One final note, if a nurse ever comes into your room with a razor and a grin and she tells you it's spa day, don't believe her. I'm going to need a therapist and a six-pack of Dr. Pepper to overcome body shaving. Whew. Just, folks, just for that indignity alone, you'd want to avoid health issues. And this was the update, folks, a half a day ago from Todd. I'm glad to get back home, and I can't thank my cardiologist, the team at Stern, and phenomenal cardiac team at Baptist East for getting me back on my feet. We are truly blessed with some of the finest medical personnel in the nation, right here in the Mid-South. My cardiologist called me tonight and reiterated how fortunate I am, a 90% blockage of the main artery. And I must tell you that I'm taking some time to get my head wrapped around the events of the past few days. I'm just so blessed to be surrounded by my precious family and my sweet friends. My church family went above and beyond, and my family at KWAM and the national radio show just taking charge with Dylan at the helm. I had my first outing earlier today to drive to Kroger to get some baby aspirin. I feel like I ran a marathon. It's going to take a little time to get back on my feet, but I will be on my way. In the meantime, a few guest hosts will be taking over. Also, as a journalist, I always believe in correcting errors at the source, and I do want to apologize for telling you that gravy was actually healthy for you. It turns out sausage gravy is not a lubricant for your arteries, after all. My apologies. I long for the day when I can relax in the sun and drink a Dr. Pepper. So that's the update from Todd, folks. On the mend, probably listening to the show as he's sitting back and Hopefully I was keeping him up enough, engaged enough, to where he wasn't nodding off to sleep. That's kind of my kind of my job. So, folks, that's the update on Todd. If you want to call in, let me know. Send your well wishes to Todd and his family, and wish him a speedy recovery and back behind the mic and back on television as soon as humanly possible. Please call 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. In the meantime, I thought we would highlight some of the good things going on out there. I mean, President Trump, what he's doing with Iran, I think is going to be consequential. The future for the United States of America, no future president, no Congress will have to factor in defense and battle plans for an Islamic-dominated, jihadist-dominated Iran. And I think that's going to transform not only the Middle East, but transform America and what we have to contend with moving forward. Taking away communist China's playthings. Kind of like that. Kind of like it. So there's one positive thing. We mentioned this, and I think we haven't given it its due. This is Governor Ron DeSantis in the great state of Florida. He has signed into law the new gerrymandered districts. The gerrymandered districts in Florida have increased the Republican possibilities to the factor of four, which may help blunt all of John Thune's efforts to turn over the United States Congress back to communists and socialists, who, by the way, have pledged they're going to nuke the filibuster, and John Thune is okay with that. John Thune says, if the Democrats want to nuke the filibuster, I'm fine with it. And when they nuke the filibuster, they're going to implement policies that make sure they never lose power ever again. John Thune is fine with it. And John Thune will not be leading the fight against the Democrats in any real and substantive way. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. The last 4 years before Trump took over, the last 4 years under the last Democrat regime, President Otto Penn, they opened up the borders, folks. They opened up the borders, flooded this country with over 15 million criminal illegal aliens, land, sea, and air. The Democrats complained that the Republicans weren't voting with them, and the Republicans complained too. They complained, saying, it's not lawful for what you're doing. But for all of the Republicans complaining, did they stop one criminal illegal alien from getting into the United States? Not one. And that's what the Republicans will do. They will go back, and they will complain, and they will fundraise, and they will do absolutely nothing of substance in the minority to stand in the Democrats' way as they work to harm you and your family, as they have squandered. And this was the entire run the clock out strategy. We in Texas know this very well. You people in North Carolina know it very well. The Republicans who dominate your legislature, they run out the clock so that good conservative legislation doesn't get a hearing. And then at the end of every legislative session, they say, oh, we just plumb ran out of time. Right now, John Thune is saying, sorry, folks, we'd love to do the Save America Act. We're just plumb run out of time. Remember, they passed the big, beautiful bill last June, and they've done nothing that has been pro-American since. Nothing. For those of you pointing to the housing bill, that was a Democrat bill. John Thune passed a Democrat bill. His good friend, the Democrats, and got enough Republicans to sign on to it, right? So that's what happens when Republicans are in charge. They turn it back over to Democrats. When Democrats are in charge, they ram through everything they can, knowing the Republicans won't do anything extraordinary to stop them. And who pays for all that? We do. My thanks publicly to Governor Ron DeSantis for doing what is necessary to protect me and mine and you and yours from Marxists, from socialists, while John Thune, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Tom Cotton, John Curtis, John Barrasso, and the rest surrender their voters to Marxists and socialists. Thank you. Thank you, Governor DeSantis. Much appreciated. Then there's this out of Los Angeles, folks. How many of you know the name Spencer Pratt? Spencer Pratt, actor, yeah? Spencer Pratt is running for mayor of Los Angeles, folks. Do you know that they still haven't even begun to rebuild in the Palisades from that wildfire? I had a buddy of mine who worked for a left-wing radio company, a radio company that many of you know. The one of the big radio companies out there, folks. He posted a meme on his social media. Didn't say it on radio. Posted on social media. It said, in Los Angeles, they've got 57 different genders, but only zero working fire hydrants. And because of that joke, he was fired from a so-called free speech radio company. Think about that. This radio company, folks, has conservative talk stations on it. And they fired a conservative talk show host for posting a joke that said 57 different genders, no working fire hydrants in Los Angeles. That's how much they're dedicated to free speech, which means they're not. So the Democrats who run the People's Republic of California, they have decided that they want to allow some big moneyed buyers to come in and swoop in and buy up all that property. Some are rumored to be from communist China, folks, to buy some of that prime real estate. And I don't think anybody's going to reelect Karen Bass. I mean, this woman allows dogs to be used on Skid Row in Los Angeles. They all the bums, all the druggies, all the junkies, they have these dogs in kennels and they inject them full of their drugs to make sure it's not laced with communist China's fentanyl, right? And if the dog dies, oh, that's a bad batch. But if the dog lives and just gets all whacked out on drugs, then the junkies can shoot up. That's happening right now. All of you Democrats out there who claim to love animals, yeah, sure you do. Anywho, the race for mayor is heating up. Here's Spencer Pratt. Now, he's going to be saying this in front of his trailer. He lives in a trailer because his house was burned down, courtesy of Democrat incompetence. Listen.
This is where Mayor Bass lives. You notice something? Or here, where Nithya Raman's $3 million mansion sits. They don't have to live in the mess they've created where you live. This is where I live. They let my home burn down. I know what the consequences of failed leadership are. That's why I'm running for mayor. For my sons and the rest of us Angelenos that want to stop these corrupt politicians from destroying our city. We are going to get the golden age of Los Angeles back.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be one of America's largest cities restored once leftists and Marxists were no longer in charge? 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Put you in touch with me, your liberty-loving Latino, on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. You got me, Chris Salcedo. If you want to get in touch with me, go to chrissalcedo.com, ChrisSalcedo, Salcedo, ChrisSalcedo.com. You can hook up with all of our social media presence there. Our big one is True Social. Where are we at? 2.3 million followers on True Social. Up and coming is our X account, at C Salcedo Show. X is up and coming because when it was communist Twitter, I left. So I had to start from scratch. So we're making it respectable, but would love to have more of you folks join us there. So when you get a chance, head on there. Let me get to the phones because I think I got a call waiting here. Hold on a minute. Shirley is calling on 920 a.m. in Houston, Texas. Shirley, welcome. Hello, Shirley. Can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. What do you got?
I had the ballot for the runoff here in Texas, Houston, Texas. I'm not familiar with any of those judges, like Frankfurt, Gibson, Fox, or Smith. And I just won't vote for just anybody because I don't know them.
Right.
What these judges, I'm looking for a hardball hitter, not a softball hitter judge. Now, could you give me some pointers?
Well, surely I can tell you now one of the judges that you mentioned in the runoff on May 26th in Texas, it's place three, one of these judges races, place three on the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. The Court of Criminal Appeals is a big court. It's a biggie. And you've got Allison Fox up against Thomas Smith. And my impression of Allison Fox is that she's a disaster, and a disaster waiting to happen. So if it were me, if I'm going to be voting in that runoff, which I am, Thomas Smith is going to get my vote. He's an assistant attorney general inside of Ken Paxton's office. He's going to bring the proper temperament and with very little tolerance of pro-criminal leftists. Very little tolerance.
Good. Well, what about Gibson and Frankfurt?
Yeah, those ones I'm not familiar with. And I'm not even sure what positions they're running for. Do you know?
Would you repeat that? My hearing's not that good, El Fader.
Yes, yes, I understand. Surely, I'm just asking, those other judges you mentioned, do you know what positions they're running for, which judges or which courts they're running for? Because
let me see here. It's the first Court of Appeals, District Place 3.
Right. The Criminal Court of Appeals, Shirley, I would go, and this is who I'm going with, Thomas Smith. I'm going with Thomas Smith. I think that Mr. Smith has the right temperament. Again, he comes from the Attorney General's office, and he has learned under Ken Paxton, the most conservative Attorney General in these once United States. So that's where I'd go. The other ones, they weren't familiar to me. So you may have to do a little, they may be local judges in your particular jurisdiction. So you'd have to do a little investigating on your own there, lady. Okay. But I can definitely tell you the Criminal Court of Appeals, folks, it was the Criminal Court of Appeals that ruled that Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, could not prosecute voter fraud. Believe in Texas, believe it or not. So you got to choose right on the Criminal Court of Appeals, you know. Choose lawful, let me put it that way. All right, folks, Chris Salcedo out for the day. Say your prayers for our buddy Todd Starnes, okay? Praise God, he's going to be back in front of the microphone very soon. Catch you next time.